Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart, the most listened to radio show in the nonprofit sector, dedicated to helping your charity succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to fundraising success, and practical nonprofit management advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect landing point to learn from experts around the world who provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books range from Successful Online Fundraising to Expert Nonprofit Management. Guests on The Nonprofit Coach are leaders in their field who share their insider tips and trade secrets in a conversational style both the experienced and novice will benefit from. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you and your organization move to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Click on Radio. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of The Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And welcome to this special edition of The Nonprofit Coach. Thank you for joining us today. It is with a heavy heart that I host The Nonprofit Coach today, because on January 12th of this year, after a courageous battle with cancer, a very dear friend and mentor to many, Tony Elisher, passed away. And today, we have a number of luminaries who knew him well, knew his wit and wisdom. And the purpose of today's show is to memorialize that, to document that, and to celebrate the wonderful life of Tony Elisher and the light that he lit for fundraising around the world. So I see a lot of folks on the switchboard. We're going to get to everyone before the end of today's show. And we're going to start off with Andrew Watt. Andrew, everyone I think knows who you are, but I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves just so that we have that documented. And I'm going to ask you to share your best memories and what you would like to memorialize Tony Elisher. So welcome to The Nonprofit Coach. Andrew Watt.
Well, great to be back with you, Ted. And you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to talk about an amazing man. I'm the president and CEO of the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Prior to that, where I've been for 10 years now, I was with the Institute of Fundraising in the United Kingdom. So that's really where I met Tony back in the early 1990s. And he was one of those people, you could never be indifferent to him. I mean, he always sparked a strong reaction, and I wasn't sure what to make of him, to be honest, the first time I met him. I was sitting there thinking, who is this man? And it did not take me long to recognize what extraordinary depth of kindness underlay the showmanship and what an incredible degree of passion and concern actually drove him into the profession that he finally chose, because he could have done so much. I mean, he was, I'm sure many people who knew him better than me will be speaking to this, but he was extraordinarily creative. A lot of people didn't know what an incredibly talented and passionate gardener he was. You know, it wasn't something that leapt at you off the stage, and yet his garden in Buckinghamshire was one of the most beautiful I've seen anywhere, and he was very modest about those sorts of achievements. But he did have the capacity to really get up people's noses sometimes. And I will never forget the first time my wife met him, which was flying with me in economy class to Seattle for the AFP conference there some years ago now. And Tony was traveling front end, well, middle end anyway, stuck his nose around the bulkhead and said, "Hello, peasants. How are you enjoying cattle class?" And this was not a way to endear himself to the center. But, you know, it's a monument to Tony was that during her time in Seattle, you know, which is not that long, she completely revised her initial very unfavorable opinion of him and said, "What a lovely guy."
Well, I think part of I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that Tony rather enjoyed the shock value of humor.
Yes.
And used that extensively in his very remarkable, and I dare say there's really no one that can compare to the creativity that he would bring to plenary sessions and to educational sessions.
Yeah, you know, it was that extraordinary curiosity of his, and he was one of the most disciplined and hardworking people I think I've ever met. So when you looked at those general sessions and you saw, you know, the data, the stories, the pictures he put up there, he had spent months researching those things. He had this incredible archive of images. I mean, you know, any of us have been privileged to work with him, found out about it in the end. But, you know, and he never, ever stopped learning.
And challenging us all. I mean, those of us who have been lecturing, and certainly as a young fundraiser, privileged to be asked to speak at some of my first conferences, Tony is someone who took me under his wing and really challenged me to be a very good speaker, not to just be a speaker, but to be imaginative and innovative and to challenge people. And of course, I'll never come to the level of creativity that he brought, but he set a new standard for speaking at conference.
I think he did. And, you know, whether it was at the IFC or the Institute Fundraising Conference back in the early 90s, I mean, Tony's sessions had an extraordinary vigor that you didn't see elsewhere. I mean, we've come to demand incredibly high standards from speakers in public places today, and I think people forget quite how much we owed to Tony back then for pushing us out of our comfort zone.
Andrew, I'm going to ask you to stay with us as long as you can. I know you have a tight schedule today. I'm going to bring, I think Daryl Upsall is going to come and join us. Daryl, is that you?
I'm here. Good to speak to you again, Ted.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, so Daryl, join in here. Introduce yourself first, and then share your memorial of Tony Elisher.
Sure. I'm Daryl Upsall, and I'm an international consultant for nonprofits based out of Madrid. And I've known Tony as a friend, a colleague, a compadre, and many other things besides for about 28 years now. Like Andrew, as you can probably tell from both of our accents, I hail from the UK originally.
Texas.
And, you know, I think it was a fundraising conference. One of the, you'd never guess, would you? I sometimes pretend I'm Antonio Banderas living here in Madrid. But you know, I first met Tony at one of the first fundraising conferences in the UK. We were both young, enthusiastic, young fundraisers. It was a while before I saw him speak, and I think it was probably the IFC in Holland. Mm-hmm. And suddenly this man appears on stage. In those days, with little staging, it got more fantastic as the years went on. But bouncing onto the stage with unstoppable energy. And until that point, as Andrew said, I think we were pretty much used to people standing behind a lectern and even reading from their notes. But not for Tony, even in the good old days of overhead projectors and so forth. He was always finding some racy material and some often out-of-the-world ideas that then became the reality in later life.
Yeah. He challenged people, didn't he? And where did that come from?
I think mostly because he challenged himself, quite frankly. He was never satisfied. He was always looking for a new angle on things. I spent many a time both socially with Tony on holidays, on traveling trips, going to conferences and so forth. And he's one of the few people I know who's never really read a novel. He would only read the business magazines and books. He was always looking for the new ideas, always thinking that maybe our sector of fundraising wasn't really up to speed yet. And if it wasn't there, he would go out and try to invent it. And certainly what he did, I think, through his writing in magazines and his production at conferences, is not only bring the new ideas to us, but bring them in a visually stimulating, funny, and very irreverent way quite often. There were moments when you go, oh, God, did Tony really say that? And the audience will be laughing in the aisles, meanwhile.
What was it about Tony that was, it seemed important to him to bring humor to topics that others did not bring humor to?
I think that's a certain Britishness to that anyway, of dealing with difficult situations with humor. One of the times I worked closely with Tony was when I was working for an HIV/AIDS charity, the very first in Europe and certainly the first to do fundraising in Europe. And I invited Tony, amongst others like George Smith and so forth, another fundraising guru, to become one of my fags. Now, the fundraising advisory group had a nice acronym of FAG. It wasn't a committee, and boy, did Tony play on that, being a fundraising fag for an AIDS charity. I think it was a way of dealing with some of the very difficult situation. You know, 12 of my board died, 30% of the staff in 3 years with HIV/AIDS. Often when you're facing those situations, as Tony did working at a cancer charity before, you use humor as a way of lightening up the moment to bring across quite serious points in the long term.
Mm-hmm. And he would bring it to...
He was an absolute obsessed fan of Python, by the way. So I think he had everything ever made by Monty Python in his video collection.
Yeah, I think there certainly was an element to that. I'm going to add someone else to the discussion, and gentlemen, stay with us as long as you can. I understand everybody has tight schedules today, so if you drop off, we will understand. Joining us now is Neil Galliford. Neil, welcome here to the memorial for Tony Elisher. Please introduce yourself and share your memorial.
Well, hi, Ted. Thank you very much for having me on, and hi, Andrew. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Neil.
It's great to hear your reminiscences of Tony. He was a terrific guy, and I got to know him at the IFC, I think, probably a dozen years ago. But we have a standing meeting every time he was in Canada, where we go out and have some fine food and some fine wine and some fine gossip, and he loved all of that. But best of all, he loved fundraising, I think, and he was quite the showman, I think. So, terrific guy. I think my fondest memory of him is what happened here in Toronto at the AFP Congress. In 2011, he came and he was the closing plenary. And he discovered that he had been put in a room that was actually a theater, and it was called the Bassett Theater, and it has actually room in it for about 800 people. And that got Tony thinking. And within a month or so, he was back to propose to us something entirely new, something entirely phantasmagorical, and that was what was to become Fundraising Theater. 2.5-hour multimedia extravaganza. We had fundraisers on stage. There was music, video. There were skits and interviews. There was dancers, and there was even a confetti cannon. So this just was the greatest thing that Tony could do, and he pulled it off fantastically. When he proposed it, he needed sponsors to do it, and I said, as president of Stephen Thomas, I said, if Tony's doing it, we need to support it. So Stephen Thomas and Care Too actually stepped forward to sponsor it, and it was spectacular. And I think anybody who saw it, and certainly everybody who was involved in it, thought it was the most amazing thing they'd ever seen.
I think you brought up an important point here. Go ahead, Daryl.
No, I was just saying it was great fun to participate in, and I think everybody who was on that stage that day in Canada just came off exhausted and exhilarated, and the audience was screaming. And I believe, if I recall, we even trended in Twitter in Toronto that day.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Neil, because oftentimes I think that same statement of, well, if Tony's involved, it's okay, or if Tony's okay involved, it's going to be great, was said, because he always brought something more. He brought showmanship, but he also brought a message and very much cared about training and lecturing, but showing people a good time. And I think that's part of, as I said for today, the wit and fundraising wisdom, because those were always mixed for Tony.
And I, you know, Ted, I think that's one of the pieces that it's very easy to miss if you weren't with Tony or didn't know of it, is that he did phenomenal work elsewhere on the ground. I mean, we saw the showman, the public face of Tony, but it was when you saw him actually working on behalf of clients or on behalf of NGOs that you really saw how deeply moved he was and how passionate he was about getting stuff done. I mean, he really was a consummate professional, and I think that's an extraordinary thing to find in somebody like that.
Absolutely, and a great legacy for him to leave with us. I'm going to bring in here Rob Mitchell is going to join the memorial today. Rob, please introduce yourself and share your memorial for Tony.
Yeah, and the first thing I'd like to say is that Ted, I never had the privilege of actually knowing Tony. Having seen a couple of his presentations, I can identify what people have already said about him. But you said at the top of the show that he was a mentor. And the reason that I wanted to participate in this conversation was to stress how important mentorship is in our business. I started out in a one-man development shop in 1982. And I was we had a consultant in, a man named Gordon Caswell, who saw something in me that I did not see in myself, and he became my mentor. He taught me how to make a presentation. He taught me how to tell stories while I was making a presentation. And this was all about planned giving during the early days of planned giving marketing. And I can give Gordon credit for a 32 successful years in fundraising and fundraising management, including being the president of the American Cancer Foundation, and I'm currently CEO of Atlas of Giving, where we measure and forecast charitable giving by sector, source, and state each month. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, Rob, I was just going to say, I think that is an important topic to bring up to the memorial today is that issue of mentorship, because countless number of lives touched by Tony Elisher, and many of them he knew directly that he was mentoring and cared very much about that. Others want to share about his mentorship?
If I could just jump in, there's one thing that's kind of, it's kind of mentorship, but one thing I always noticed at the IFC, which, you know, there's a group of us who've been going there for a lifetime, but one of his qualities was he would see somebody wandering around a bit lost, perhaps the first time attendee, and being one of the superstars of the show, he would just walk up to them and you know, touch them on their arm and say, oh, can I help you? And would you like to find out more? And often he would do that during the course of any conference he was at because he realized and remembered what it was like to be a first-timer. And I think that's a subtle form of mentorship. But I know some of those conversations went on to long-term support for people who became very senior professionals over the years later.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of people who Tony had very, very long-standing relationships with over a prolonged period of time who, you know, again, there was always that dynamic tension in the relationship. So there were times when people would slam a door and say never again. And you know, I think it was a real testament to the extraordinary individualism of Tony that they always came back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tony always kept a big Rolodex of people that he knew were experts in various topics. At one point, he called upon me to go to India with him to speak at the conference there that he had financially supported, and he cared very deeply about the training in India. And I knew that I was one of many people that were sort of in that Rolodex, and that when topics came up, he always took it upon himself to not only push himself to do the very best job that he could, but to make whatever conference he committed to being involved with, to make it the best it could be.
Well, and Ted, you are a great example of his mentorship, because
yes.
Like it or not, you're an entertainer, and you have the most successful nonprofit radio show in this country, and in no small measure, I'm sure, to what you learned from Tony. And I think that's the thing about mentorship, is that it's a bit like throwing a pebble in a pond. If you're a mentor, you're the pebble, and the waves coming away from the on the water are the fruits of mentorship. And I would say to the listeners today, if you're young, find a mentor or a few mentors. And if you're more advanced in your career, find someone to mentor if you're not mentoring them now, because our industry is dependent, and the success of our industry is dependent largely on learning not just from books and lectures, but from watching other people do what needs to be done. And it sounds like Tony was just that kind of a person.
He really was, and we have a couple of other guests who are going to join us here who certainly share that approach to working throughout the industry. I believe this is Tom Ahern and Simone Joyeau joining us, if I have that number correct on the switchboard. Is that Tom and Simone?
It is, and we're sitting in my office, in the office building we have, otherwise known as our home. You know, it's interesting because years ago, actually, it was Stephen Thomas, the person, company, who said to me, you really ought to try to present at the International Fundraising Congress, and he had to see this guy, Tony Elisher, and all that sort of stuff, and I did. And I was in, Tom and I both had been in both of our Tony's big productions. I was a witch, which, you know, isn't surprising, I suppose. And when I think of Tony, I think of risk taker. He was willing to make a fool of himself, so to speak, except that he wasn't making a fool of himself. He was reminding us all that storytelling is what this is about, that love is what this is about, this philanthropy work, that playing with each other and experimenting and experiencing and taking risks is what good business is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes maybe people thought of him, or we thought of him, as more of a performer than sufficient substance. It would be a way to see someone from afar, given the productions he did. But as everyone has said so far on the phone, excuse me, there's a hell of a lot of substance.
Right.
There's an enormous amount of sensitivity. I can remember
Absolutely.
Having a really sweet private conversation with him via email that was, you know, that I left the email feeling good and calm, and it's very special.
Simone,
yeah,
if I can just ask you and everyone, if you can just hold on 1 second. We do have someone that would like to come in, only has a few minutes because he's actually in between engagements and wanted to join us today. If you don't mind, Gordon Mishi is going to join us. Gordon, is that you?
Hi, Ted. How are you?
It's wonderful to have you join us. Please introduce yourself and share your memorial of Tony, and I understand you've only got a few moments to share with us.
Okay, thank you, Ted. Hi, everyone. My name is Gordon Mishi, and I'm a UK-based fundraiser. Like Daryl and Andrew, I've had the pleasure of knowing Tony for many years. more than I'd like to remember now. It's been said about Tony that there's the conference persona, but there was also another Tony, the Tony that befriended the young and upcoming fundraisers, the Tony that would listen to you, the Tony that would give you wise counsel, and would be there for you if you just needed a shoulder in many ways. I remember a few years ago, the business I was working for was going through a challenge, and Tony was there to give advice, and even to the level of support that fortunately I didn't need to take at the time, but I knew that he was there behind me, willing me on. And there was also the fun Tony, the Tony at the end of the day, the Tony that liked to laugh and a joke, and the Tony that, yeah, he still had his professional head on at all times, but over a beer at the end of the conference, particularly IFC or the IOF in London at the last night, we could stand at the back of the room and just have a bit banter with each other. But we knew that he'd be up at 6 o'clock the next morning preparing for the plenary and the next big thing. It was so
and
many
have lots of energy. And have more energy than all the rest of us put together.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that probably came from his ballet dancing days.
kept him on his toes.
Go ahead, Darren.
Actually, he kept him on his toes, all that ballet dancing.
Yeah. I'm sure it did. Gordon, thank you so much for joining us.
No, my pleasure, Ted. Best everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Daryl, I think I interrupted you.
No. I was saying all that ballet dancing kept him on his toes, but it was that boundless energy of we did quite a few late nighters, but you never noticed it the next day on stage. The energy was there, the adrenaline was kicking in. Okay, a bit of caffeine helped, but it was always there. And one of the stories I related in a thing I wrote about him was also from the IFC, is what people don't know, sometimes there were people who were a little bit worse for wear late at night, and not always in the best state to look after themselves. And he had quite a reputation amongst the staff for making sure they got to bed, cleaned themselves up, and didn't embarrass themselves the next day. And that was kind of one of the little hidden things which only a few of the staff and those of us who were late enough often got to see.
Setting a standard for younger people. I mean, always a professional, but knew how to have a good time, and understood and felt that was an important part of conference. That there's a serious side, which he always managed to have some fun with the serious side, but set a standard of hard work ethic. He didn't just get up there and wing it. He would put lots of effort and thought into the newest thing that he was going to try to put together.
Absolutely.
So I cut off Simone and Tom. I was sorry about that, but I had gotten the message that Gordon only had a few moments. So if you don't mind, can we get back to your memorial?
Yeah, this is Tom, because Simone has said what she wanted to say. And I don't pretend to know Tony much at all. We were in his productions, and that was a ton of fun. I remember there's a feeling you get, or I had, you know, the closer I got to Tony physically, like at a conference getting close, the more I was smiling. It was just a feeling of I am next to somebody who is surprising and is fun and is intelligent and so forth. And Ted mentioned standards. I worked with Tony on one project. It was to write a case for a capital campaign that was a major campaign. It was going to go international. And Tony got in touch out of the blue, and I felt tapped to be playing in the big leagues. And yet he was never intrusive. And we went way out on a limb with this case, and he just was totally supportive and got out of the way, except behind the scenes to make sure the client was being brought along in the thinking that was going into the case. And so my regret, of course, as with the rest of us, is that I will not have a chance to have any more of Tony. I will never forget him.
What a wonderful memorial. He's left so much of a legacy for fundraising. I mean, truly stands apart in the kind of legacy that he has left. I think, Sonia, I think you're with us here. If I've got the right person on the please introduce yourself and share your memorial, because I think you probably want to speak about Tony's legacy as well.
Thanks very much, Ted. My name is Sonia Swarajuk, and I am with a longtime volunteer with the AFP Greater Toronto Chapter here in Toronto. And Tony first came to present at our conference, I guess via the IFC through my former boss, Steve Thomas, who in the 1990s saw Tony present at the IFC and encouraged him, along with some other British fundraisers, including Daryl Upsall, to come to our fledgling conference. And I think Tony was instrumental over the years in building what, for us, was a truly world-class fundraising event. He did many sessions for us, a number of plenaries, including which in 2012 was fundraising theater. It was an entire morning in a theater space at our conference center, and folks such as Tom and Simone and Daryl were a part of that. And I think that top experience for me as a volunteer and just also as a friend and professional colleague of Tony's over time is that it seemed like something that was just so impossible to do. We couldn't possibly, bring 1,000 delegates into a theater space and keep their attention for an entire morning in one space focused on one engaged production. And it was, Tony always pushed for, why not? Why can't we? To find a way to make it possible, and he did, and we did, and it was very much a collaborative initiative. And I think everyone that was on the stage and also behind the stage was really pushed to a new level of just really bringing. He really had a way of bringing out the best in everyone, it was a forerunner to what would be the Kaleidoscope and Philanthropy plenary, which was completely different and yet similar in San Antonio 16 months later in 2014 at AFP International. So huge. His passing is has left me profoundly sad and a huge hole in my heart, but as Tony would say, and I'm sorry that I missed the beginning of your show, Ted, but the show must go on, and I think he would be upset if we, didn't continue to push and strive to be the best that we could be, to challenge and to do what we could in our own way to make the world a better place.
Sonia, if you'll stay right there, I wanted to, those that are still with us, kind of do a round robin on what is the best way to remember Tony, and what has he left that must not be missed or forgotten. Daryl?
I think it's reaching for the sky, not giving up, not believing anything's impossible, and bringing immense creativity to our work, because that was something he gave to us.
How do we do that? Because he was, in a lot of ways, the energy that has been said so many times here, that he would propose things that seemed impossible. He would not be afraid to jump up on a stage and start off by looking like he was going to make a fool of himself. Of course, he had everything orchestrated and knew exactly what was going to happen. The audience did not. They were in for a surprise and in for a show. How does that continue, or is it not possible in quite that way? Is there another way that that Tony's energy is? As I said when I posted this show, that you know he lit a light for fundraising and it was global. You know, he wasn't just a small time very good speaker and trainer and fundraiser in his own country, but was called upon and really recognized around the world as someone who, if he was at your conference, if he was speaking, people would come to the conference because they knew something special was going to happen. Neil?
Go ahead, Daryl. Just very quickly, I think we see it in the next generation of presenters. Not all of them, but those who've been influenced, maybe those who participated. There's a spark there that has changed presenting from standing behind a lectern. And I think there are people who have picked up on it, and the next generation will still have that in their DNA.
That's great. Sonia, did we interrupt
you? I know that for sure. This is Neil, because we actually instituted something called the Speakers Academy here at in Toronto for the Congress, and that was an instructional time for new speakers, and Tony was our first presenter in that. And I sat through the first one of those, and it was spectacular in the sense that Tony was so thorough about the professionalism with which he presented that he had thought of everything. So everything from the temperature of the water you should drink, which is warm, to the color of shirt you should wear, which is white, and how to modulate your voice up and down and so on. It was a tour de force of how to take this opportunity seriously and to make the best of it when you're up there on the lectern. So I have to say that's a legacy that it'll be hard to carry on without him.
Yeah. Sonia?
I agree with what Neil just said. I was in the room for that first Speaker Academy as well, and it was it was a packed house, and I think for Tony it was just such a joy to be able to share what he knew with other people to help them along their way. So I think that is something that will always stay with me in terms of sharing what you know and sharing what you do best to help others be even better than what they already are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I take away that certainly he helped mentor me on was that aspect of every detail of the room, going and checking out the room and making sure that everything, not just the technology worked, but the temperature of the room, the placement of the chairs and the tables, and really thinking about how does all that fit into your presentation, that you're not just getting up there and lecturing, but that you are actually part of sort of an ecosystem that you're creating and making yourself responsible for all of that. I mean, certainly you're part of a conference and there are other people who, you know, have some responsibility to that, but the person walking into that room is responsible for imparting that information and doing it in such a way that people enjoy themselves. I always would sort of walk away from some of the advice that he would give me, and it would sometimes feel like it boiled down to that people expected to be bored and don't let them. Any comments on that?
Yeah, Ted?
Yes, Simone.
Yes. You know, I think listening to the way we're talking, and I'm going back to your first comment or your comment about, well, so what can we look to for the future and how do we honor him and that sort of thing. I think that Tony, and I did not know him well at all, but this is my perception. He would be honored and pleased the way we're talking. He would snicker a little. And he'd say, oh, come on, people. Yeah, I'm cool, but I'm not the be-all, end-all. Get on with it. Get on with doing this work. Take risks like I, Tony, did. Mentor, as everybody's been saying, and just go for it. And when I think about remembering people, you know, to me it's honoring what they did, as in a named fund, as in in Tony's case, because we all think of him, or those who don't know him as personally, think of him as conferences, then it's, you know, scholarships or the Tony Elisher whatever or whatever. But I really think, as I say, I think he'd be honored and pleased at all of this, but I also think he'd say, come on, go forward. So those are my thoughts.
I think that's what we're trying to sort of make notes of. Daryl, I think unfortunately Andrew had to drop off to a meeting, so I think you probably knew him best, and you knew him, you vacationed with him, and you knew each other as friends and as colleagues. How would Tony want to be remembered? What, you know, if he could participate in this discussion?
Yeah.
I'm half expecting he'll be calling in any minute. He probably will. So Daryl, how would he share this thought? What would he want?
I have to say he would love the attention, because Tony was a showman, but then he'll take the make fun of it, because as much as he wanted to be center stage, I think he'd say, come on, chums, let's pack up all this nonsense and go and have a drink.
Yeah.
There's a comment I made to some Canadian fundraisers, Neil was there, and Sonia and others, on Monday last week when we were commemorating the day of the funeral from our various snowy Washington or Toronto. And I think the thing with Tony, the glass was always half full, but not for very long, because he'd soon drop that one down, look for another, and that is true of life, celebration events or whatever. However full the glass felt at any given time, it will be drunk down, and the next one would need to be refilled, whether that was fundraising, learning, presenting, or whatever. And I think the best legacy really is for us to go forward in his memory, in the profession that we all love, and share our knowledge and learning, and hopefully we can do it with some of the energy and fun, and certainly the people on this call can, I know, and share in that spirit, and refill others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully share this podcast so that others who maybe didn't know him, can hear the admiration that we all have for him, but also the detail of that admiration, that it wasn't just, wow, he's a nice guy, as you said, Daryl. You know, he could rub people the wrong way, and sometimes he would do that on purpose, so that he would see the response to rubbing them the wrong way.
Yeah, he was no angel, but those devils are great fun to spend time with.
You just sent me a wonderful a quote here over Skype. Would you share that with everyone?
Yeah, I could make the funeral as I was in Snowsill at Washington, but in true form, he did choose the music. He was still staging his own shows till the end, and the music that closed his funeral service last week was from Queen. And I'm not going to attempt to sing it, but I'll read the lines. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I want to make a supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me. And on that note, I say rest in memory.
Right. Well, and that does sum him up. So he had chosen that himself, as you said, staging right to the end, and make sure that you've got the music just right. But he always was at the speed of light. He always was at the speed of light, and brought such enthusiasm that even someone who was on the fence or not quite sure that this was something for them, I think people came away from Tony feeling that, you know, maybe I can be successful. He's given me reason to think that there's something in me.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Tom, we didn't give you as much time. You were working on something with Tony?
Yeah, this is Simon, Ted. Tom just had to go to a telephone meeting.
Oh, okay. Were they working on, am I right about that, that they were working on something?
Yes, yeah. Tom was writing the case for support for that capital initiative that he
okay.
was talking about.
Okay, yeah, and again, pushing.
Tony and company.
Yeah, pushing to you know, have that creativity and to bring that energy. And I think, you know, lots of nonprofits, you know, if they were participating today, you know, would say how much they appreciated the detail and the precision of the campaigns that he put together, but that he was always looking for some way of making it interesting, making it stand out, making it interesting for donors. I think he never felt, Daryl, that fundraising should be boring.
No. I mean, in a sense, it was a classic transition, in that he went from ballet dancing to fundraising. And I think there was always the element of him, you know, that some people may have some natural instincts, but that's why he and many others on this call are so committed to training, because going from good to great is hard work. It's learning, it's listening, it's reading. And he didn't believe anything came on a plate for free. So, yeah, anybody could be a great fundraiser if you work hard enough at it.
Yeah,
and bring that creativity. Neil, you were mentioning, and I think Sonia, you as well, just how instrumental he was to sort of bringing these skills to Canada and having Canada, its conferences and its fundraisers, maybe think of themselves in a bit of a different way.
Well, I have to say it was eye opening for me, because you see him perform and you think, oh, this is all great and look how talented he is, but he worked really, really hard at that.
Yeah.
And not just working at it, but he actually was very conscious of all the little bits and pieces that go into making something successful. And I think a lot of us, you know, we get pressed into speaking, or we're asked to do it, and we volunteer and we get up and we do our best. We probably don't think enough about ensuring that this is useful and good and entertaining for the audience, and he did, and I think that that's the legacy we need to try and maintain if we can. Whoever thought of a confetti cannon or spotlights flashing around the room and so on? It matters that things are entertaining as well as have content.
But also, who could get the commitment of expenditure sight unseen?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was pretty amazing, I have to say. And, you know, it was partly his force of character and just sheer perseverance. You know, like when he proposed it, people questioned it and said, this will never work. I mean, you can't do that and so on. But he just kept persevering and asking that question, well, why not? Let's do it. And in the end, it was a complete triumph. I've never seen a room full of fundraisers as happy and excited as the audience was that day. Spontaneously on their feet, there were a couple of different curtain calls. We it was an amazing day.
And in fact, can I just say I took the taxi back with him to the airport after I had a little bit of lunch, and I was talking with him in the taxi as we went to Toronto Airport, and he was fast asleep. He was so asleep, snoring in the taxi, because every ounce of energy had gone from
every
his body.
Ounce of energy had gone into that, yeah. And he had budgeted that energy to be that way. You know, speaking of a boundless energy, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Simone and Daryl were both there. I'm thinking of the IFC, where certainly he would lecture and he always had something special. But when it came time, I'm just remembering a particular time where he had taken upon himself to make sure that as much money was raised for bursary as possible. And he was relentless that no one was leaving without making a contribution for the IFC. Do you remember that, Daryl? Simone, I'm thinking.
Well,
we
had the speakers' dinners, which we became bidding wars, where we'd all bring something often in a bottle. And
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Admittedly, there was a lot of big egos, myself included, in the room. bidding for bottles, but all that money went to bursaries, and if ever the bidding dropped, he was up there getting the bid going stronger again.
Right. But he would personally make sure. I mean, certainly there are a lot of egos in that room when you're speaking, when you have the speaker's dinner. There's a lot of people that that bring a lot to the international fundraising space. But Tony would make sure that if anything was dying down, the energy wasn't quite there. It wasn't where he thought it should be. He would pop up and personally get involved with calling people out.
Oh yes, and buying.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and participate. Yeah, and participate as well. Well, unfortunately, as is often the case with my show, we have so much great content, and in this case, we can go on and on and talking about the wit and fundraising wisdom of Tony Ellisher, and I'm so appreciative of everyone who's joining us today. I'm just going to wrap up the show just by sort of going through the switchboard here and just asking everyone to share sort of your final memorial, your final goodbye to Tony, but also, you know, a call to the future of what you want to see of Tony's legacy. So we'll start with Neil.
Well, I guess I could quote the words of Steve Thomas, my partner here in Toronto, who said that he imagined that Tony is up in heaven asking God if there's a plenary he can do, and if God is smart, he'll say yes, absolutely. I think that's true enough. I would like to see us pay attention to the development of young fundraisers and pay attention to the quality of how we present ourselves at conferences and in those kind of settings.
Terrific. Simone, you're still with us, but Tom is not. Can you share your thoughts for both of you, perhaps?
Sure. I'm trying to remember. I just thought to myself, the alphabet. And I say the alphabet because Neil and Sonia was alphabet with all the different words that was in Toronto.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, for example, I had the word love, L for love. I don't remember what Tom had. But Tony could come up with a word about philanthropy and creativity and rigor and risk, all about the philanthropy from A through Z. And that's the way I want to remember him, and that's the way I want us to think about philanthropy and fundraising. It's A through Z. Just do it.
Terrific. Sonia.
Well, on the heels of what Neil and Simone have just said, I'm going to say three letters, PMA. And in my early in my relationship with Tony, I asked him, what is this PMA you keep talking about? And it was and is positive mental attitude. And that is something that I will continue to strive for in my professional and personal life. Because so much can be achieved with PMA. He was, you know, the embodiment of that. And I think that if I continue having some PMA every day, that I can honor him best through that.
That's a wonderful way to be remembered. Daryl, can you wrap it up for us here?
Sure.
Give the final eulogy, if you will, the final words of wisdom from Tony.
Okay. Going back to Simone's idea, it was the alphabet of fundraising, and the word I had Tony gave me was W, and W stood for world. And I think the difference between Tony and most other fundraisers I can possibly think of in my career is Tony did see it as a fundraising world, a world in which he worked and lived in, but truly a worldwide movement of fundraisers. And I think if there's something to be said, it is that true globalization of the spirit and passion of fundraising that he stood for. So my final words are rest in plenary.
Yeah, I think that's right. Rest in plenary. He certainly was the king of plenary, and for many conferences Was the difference between perhaps, there may have not been great speakers all, but if you had Tony there to wrap things up, if you had Tony there to start things off, you had something special. You had a special conference. And everybody knew it because, as has been mentioned here, he put a lot of effort and energy into it. He didn't just show up and sort of do the same thing that you had seen at several other conferences, and this was just Tony doing it again. He didn't seem satisfied to do the same thing again, but the messages were always consistent that it was quality, it was thoughtfulness, it was focus on the donor, it was remembering what philanthropy is all about and not getting caught up in just the numbers and the data, but certainly recognizing that numbers and data are important. So there's a balance that in all of the wit and the showmanship that I think, Daryl, you mentioned that there are so many different facets, and he wasn't always a good boy, and he wasn't always on everyone's good side. But I think even, at least my experience has been, even when he was sort of on someone's bad side, or there were some maybe negative energy going on, that, you know, he always would try to make it better, and he would try to heal things, sometimes with humor, sometimes appreciated, sometimes not. But a luminary, and someone that I hope that this show, I hope it will be shared. I hope that everything that's been shared about Tony today is remembered. And I think, when those of us are feeling, you know, what was Tony Elisher all about, I hope that we'll send someone this podcast or try to remember that there was a bright light that has gone on and is in the hands of all of us. And we all have the responsibility to keep that light alive. And I hope often when things are going well, when things are particularly funny, when things are insightful, when someone does a particularly good job, I hope from time to time we'll hear, well, that would do Tony proud. Because I think the roots of where that is may go back to Tony Elisher. So for all of you today, thank you so much for joining us. I'm just going to play the podcast reminder, a little clip that's usually played at the midpoint in the show, and I'm playing it here at the end just to remind people how they can find our podcast. So I'm going to play that now.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on Radio Links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
And this has been the memorial to the wit and wisdom of Tony Elisher, who has been a fundraising luminary, who worked very hard for a lot of different causes, has passed away, but will not be forgotten. And as has been pointed out here, he mentored many. Many of us who maybe were a little bit more senior still have a lot that we learned from him. And junior people who have had the opportunity to learn from him have learned a lot. And we all have a lot to thank Tony for a life worth well-lived and for the service that he provided to a profession that we all care very deeply about. So thank you for joining us here on the Nonprofit Coach. Definitely catch our podcast and mark your calendar. Be back with us for our next live show. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Ted.
You've been listening to the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcasts at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Coach.